Continue our series titled Teach Us to Pray. Teach Us to Pray. Luke 11, verse 1, read with me if you will. He says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that today that you're teaching us as a congregation how to seek your face, how to remove distractions, how to not allow the things of this world to get in the way of us pursuing you in the kingdom of heaven. Today we ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach us the way Jesus taught us to pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I love this here because the disciples, it's recorded that they come and they ask Jesus, teach us to pray. And when I read that, I think there must have been something about the way Jesus prayed that got their attention. Wouldn't you think that? I mean, here's Jesus. Everywhere Jesus went, miracles were happening. I mean, he preached to thousands and thousands of people. Healed people, just miraculous things, power of God moving through them. And the one thing they ask when they see Jesus pray is they say, teach us to pray. And what Jesus does is he teaches them how to pray in something that we're going to recite here in just a moment that's recorded in Scripture that so many of us are familiar with if we've been exposed to any kind of church life, regardless of denomination, most of us know the Lord's Prayer. And that's what Jesus taught. And so we're going through that, and God is teaching us really about prayer and what Jesus, I believe, taught his disciples. And we're finding out that we need to pray in everything. Say everything. Everything. We need to pray always. Say always. Always. We need to pray everywhere. Say everywhere. So we're praying in everything, we're praying always, we're praying everywhere. It's not something that we just do in the morning. I mean, certainly, it's good for us to get up in the morning and to pray and to seek God. And we're certainly talking about that. But prayer is something where we're communing with God all day, listening to him, doing what he's telling us to do so that we can bring the kingdom of heaven to us and then release the kingdom of heaven everywhere that we go. And so they asked Jesus, teach us to pray. And now what I want to do is I want to read the next few scriptures together. And I want us all to read this together, Luke 11, 2. And read with me if you will. It says this. So he said to them, read with me, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So many of us, again, know that as the Lord's Prayer. But when you look through what Jesus taught them, first of all, what we looked at for a couple of weeks was we need to know that God is our Father. If you are going to have an effective prayer life, you and I have got to believe that God is our Father. He's not judging us. He's not condemning us. He's not out to get us. He's for us. He's on our side. He has blessed us, the Bible says, with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. It tells us that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And Jesus said, and you can read it on your own, I love John 15, John 16, and John 17. You can read for yourself. We don't have time to turn there this morning. But that's where Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, whatever you ask will be done for you. He teaches in chapter 16 about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit that will come. And then he teaches in chapter 17 of how Father God had given all things to Jesus, but then Jesus delivers all those things to you and I. And there's just such just tremendous truths in those three chapters. I encourage you to read that on your own. What we're looking at today is we've got to realize that God is our Father. Number two, we've got to realize that the kingdom of heaven, the will of God being done in our life, on earth as it is in heaven, is something we've got to realize. I'll just title this, On Earth as It Is in Heaven. Realizing that God wants to take the kingdom of heaven, everything he did through Jesus' life, and bring it now through you and I. And through prayer, through seeking Father God, through believing that the kingdom of heaven is starting to manifest in our lives and continuing to live in the presence of God. See, so many times we think that what we think we need is the answer to our prayer. And you know, that's usually not true. What you think you need is not what you need. I'll say it again. What you think you need is not what you need. What you need is God's presence in your life. What I need is God's presence in my life. Now, I understand there are needs. We need to eat. I understand we need clothes. All right? I understand that we need a roof over our heads and all those things. And God knows that too. But when we only seek those things seem to elude us even more and more. But when we seek the kingdom of heaven first, and that's what we're going to talk about today, then those things are released in our lives. And what ends up happening is when we're seeking the kingdom, first of all, you and I change. And when you and I change, you can be praying for something that you think you need and say, Lord, I'm just going to seek you. I'm going to get caught up. We sang that song today. I will pursue you. I will pursue your presence. And we sing a song, very simple song, a very repetitive song. But if you get yourself lost in the presence of God, singing a song like that or something else similar, you may have a song that you just sing to the Lord when you're worshiping him, when you have your private prayer time, and you get caught up in God's presence, you know, pretty soon your problems don't matter anymore. And God will start to minister to you. He'll start to speak to you. He'll start to comfort you. He'll start to direct you. See, the kingdom of God is not something that only the strong receive. It's not somewhere that you and I arrive. In fact, just the opposite, I believe, is true. Our battle, listen carefully, our battle is to keep ourselves humble or childlike while living a life expecting the impossible to manifest at every turn. So we've got to keep ourselves humble, waiting on God, not allowing ourselves to get puffed up with pride like we figured it all out. I've seen so many Christians get to an area in their lives where they think they've figured everything out. And you know what ends up happening? Life becomes kind of boring. Life becomes kind of humdrum. We just get sucked into this comfortable living. And that is not where God wants to keep you. I shared during our worship, I believe with all my heart, that many times we start to feel like, oh, God, I've been pressing in, and I feel like I'm, you know, just before you feel like everything's going to break apart is where you get your breakthrough in prayer. Keep praying. Keep seeking him. But I've seen so many Christians just settle for just enough. And it's not a time when you and I should be living that way. We should keep a childlike faith, but expect God to move at every turn, not because we've known something or because we've learned something, but because we've enjoyed his presence so much and we start to enjoy his presence, that out of that presence start to flow things so that we make a difference in other people's lives. The kingdom of heaven is never something we earn through education or preparation, even though we should educate ourselves. We should prepare ourselves. But our preparation is seeking the kingdom, seeking God, getting lost in his presence. And if you've never experienced the presence of God on a day-by-day basis, I encourage you to start today. Start tomorrow. Get up early. And you may say, well, I already get up early. Well, get up earlier. And if you don't like getting up early, maybe you don't care for your job. I don't know. Get up earlier, because if you don't start to get up and see God, your situation will not change. And it's certainly worth giving up some sleep. If you've never gotten up in the middle of the night, maybe you wake up and you're like, you just have something in your heart like, maybe God's calling me. Maybe God wants me to get out of bed. Listen, that's God. All right? That's God. Get up. Go spend some time in his presence. So, but what about my sleep? It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. Because God wants to take us on a journey together. And so many times we think, well, that's for the special. That's for those who are highly educated. That's for those who have been walking with God for a while. No, it is something that God wants to do for every believer. In fact, I want to read, this is a quote from Chris Valentin. He's one of the pastors on staff at Bethel Church out in California, Redding, California. He says, many believers have been educated out of obedience. They exchange God's work for good deeds, reducing Jesus' people to nice, friendly citizens instead of fire-breathing world changers. They have domesticated the lion of the tribe of Judah, reducing him to a circus animal. I think that is so true. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a nice person. There's nothing wrong with being a good citizen. And we love doing things and reaching out in our community, but we always believe that we want to do more than we think we could do because God works the miraculous. God wants to work through your life in an area of healing for somebody else. God wants to give you a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, things for you to be able to minister and to reach out to the people that you come in contact with. But you and I have got to learn how to seek the kingdom of heaven first, realizing that Father God is on our side, that he is our Father, but he's empowering us by the kingdom of heaven, able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that works in us. And listen, you need to know this stuff because you and I are going to have a challenge in life. And the only thing that's going to get you through life is seeking Father God, not memorizing scripture. Memorizing scripture is good. And we should memorize scripture. Very important. But if you and I don't get these areas, it's going to be very hard for us to have the kingdom of heaven manifested. Now, last Saturday, I walked into Walmart. I just want to share a quick testimony with you. I walked into Walmart, and as I'm walking in there, there's a woman standing there just had finished a break. I think she just finished having a cigarette break or something. She was outside. If you remember, a week ago Saturday is when it poured. I thought for sure it was the days of Noah. I don't know if you remember that. It was just pouring cats and dogs, all right? And I went in, and she was just coming in from her break, and she said something to the effect of, oh, what a great day for my umbrella to break. And I heard that, and I kind of just smiled at her, and I just walked in. And Holy Spirit said, I want you to buy her an umbrella. See, you and I should be listening. It is good to hand out tracts. It's good to hand out things to people. It's good to preach to people that you come in contact with, but it's better to hear God's voice and minister to the people that he's already working in. Jesus told the disciples it was the person of peace, is how he referred to it. It's better to pray, to seek God's presence, to seek the kingdom, and start hearing his voice so that you start to minister to the person that God wants you to minister to. I don't know how many have their 2540 bracelets on, but this is what God's teaching us to do. If you don't have one, grab one out at the information center before you leave today. Jesus said, that which you've done to the least of these, you've done also to me. Mission Monday. Come on, somebody. And Monday, it doesn't have to just be Monday. It can be Saturday, too. But Monday's a good place to start because we all have Mondays, don't we? So, and I walked in there in Holy Spirit. So I went and did my shopping. And after I got the stuff I needed, I said, okay, I asked the Lord, I said, what color umbrella do you want me to get her? And that sounds silly, but you know what? God knows what color umbrella she wants. I don't. I really don't. I bought Trish some umbrellas. I don't even know if I own an umbrella. You don't have a lot of hairdo to protect. I mean, it's kind of like, okay, you get a little wet, you dry off. But I asked the Lord, and I picked the one I believe Holy Spirit told me to. And I walked up to this woman. She was working at the bakery. Just before I exited, I walked up. I said, excuse me, the Lord wants me to give this to you. And she broke down. Now, I had no idea what was happening her day. I started to share Jesus with her, prayed with her, talked with her. And I just, you know, I said, well, that's it. Glad I could help you. Have a great day. I love. Well, my job is done here. And later that day, I saw someone put a comment on Facebook, and I had no idea. As a woman who attends services here occasionally, and I didn't know she was even working there that day. I didn't see her, but she evidently heard about this story, and she said, today I was in Walmart, and she said a woman that I work with had just had a rotten day. She was on her break, and her umbrella broke, and she went to get a cup of coffee, and all the cups fell on her, and coffee fell on her, and it made a mess, and here walks this man and buys her an umbrella, and it just made her day, and she said, I didn't think anybody even cared anymore, and how the Lord used that. And she said, lo and behold, I heard a familiar voice, and I looked up, and it was Pastor Tony Pasquino. And so all day they talked about Resurrection Life Church and talked about, and I didn't invite her to church. Now, you should invite people to church. I didn't feel like I was supposed to invite her. I know, you know, church growth expert would say, what do you mean? Sometimes you're supposed to share Jesus. Now, it's good to invite people to church. Don't misunderstand me, and you should. Please, if that's all you do, invite someone to church. But why don't you show somebody Jesus? That's even better. All right. And so, and I had no idea. You think a $5 umbrella that changed that woman's, not only her world, but everybody she talked to. I know because there was that comment on Facebook. Now, listen, that doesn't say anything about me. Okay. Because if you hang around with me for a while, I guarantee you I'm going to rub you the wrong way. You know it. A lot of you around me, you're like, well, that's just Pastor Tony. That's just the way he is. Well, yeah, but that's just the way you are too. All right. But you know that Jesus will do good things. If you'll live this way, if you'll start to realize that God is your Father, that it doesn't matter what you think you've done wrong, that God still wants to talk to you. God still wants to bless you. If you'll start to realize that the kingdom of heaven is something that God wants to manifest through your life, you say, well, I'm not perfect. I'm not ready. I know. None of us are. That's what Jesus came for. Not to bring us the kingdom to earth, but to walk in the Spirit of God. And the only way you and I can do that is start to get sensitive to the Lord, to start to pursue the presence of God, to start to realize that God is our Father. To start to expect, keeping ourselves humble, but expecting God to show his miraculous, whether it's a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. See, I could have just walked on by and said, oh, that was just a nice thought. And I've had times where I've wanted to do something and Holy Spirit wasn't saying anything, and I just go. Now, that may seem odd to some people, but you know, I would rather spend my time doing the Father's business. I mean, no, Jesus did that. There were times, Jesus did not run around crazy with white signs everywhere he went, turn or burn. Jesus did not live that way. He didn't. Jesus just lived life. He said, I always do those things that please my Father. That's what he said. He just lived in a way, and it came because he prayed in a way that I believe he's teaching us to pray, that he taught his disciples. You and I have got to get to that place where we start to listen to Father God, and we start to live in a way that only pleases our Father. And it comes through prayer like this, believing the kingdom of heaven will come through our lives. Luke 12:32. Do not fear, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Listen, God takes pleasure in giving the kingdom away to you and I. Takes pleasure in it. It's not something you even have to beg him to do, but it's something that as we seek his presence, we start to hear his voice in a way that the kingdom of heaven starts to manifest because we're being obedient to what God has told us to do. Are you with me? All right? It's not about doing a bunch of good works. It's about being obedient and doing the thing that Holy Spirit is leading us to do. And that only comes through seeking the kingdom of heaven first. Matter of fact, we just read Luke 12:32, but I want to back up to verse 22, and I want to read some verses preceding verse 32. And he says this, Luke 12:22. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, nor about the body, what you'll put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you, then, are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest?" And so what Jesus is teaching his disciples and ultimately teaching us is not to worry. The one thing I want to talk about, don't worry. Be happy. Boop, 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 boop. Some of you remember that song. Anybody ever have that Billy Bass? Anybody have one of those? Oh, my, what a crazy, crazy culture we live in. Here's a little song I wrote. But, you know, God doesn't want us to worry. And I don't have all the statistics in front of me, and some of you would know better than me, but you know that they have proven that worry leads to more illnesses, physical illnesses, mental illnesses. One thing I can assure you is worry will not meet the need that is that you think you have or that you know you have. Worry won't help. And Jesus was trying to get that. Just the other day, we were down, we went and had a cup of coffee down at Morsels downtown. Love their coffee. Get a maple latte down there. Oh, my goodness. It's so fun to cheat. But I had a maple latte, maple breve. We get the half and half. It's even more fattening. All right. And we go down there, and we were sitting down there, and all last week, it was so beautiful out, wasn't it? And all last week, you know, I was teasing Trish. It'd be nice, so we'd want to go do something outside. I said, "Let's go enjoy the last nice day of the year." I've been saying that to her all week. She hates it when I do that. But you know what's coming, don't you? I mean, don't you? I think of what's coming. And how many remember Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Remember that cartoon? And every time I think of Michigan and northern Michigan winter, I think, remember Burl Ives, he played that little snowman when the wind blew? That's what I think. I see that picture's in my head, and I think, let's go enjoy the last nice day of the year. So we went, we had a cup of coffee, we were sitting outside there at Morsels, and there's that little, the river down there, a little channel there about where the boats are and stuff, and we're sitting there, if you've ever been downtown right there, and we're watching, and as I'm watching, I see this duck, and he's, you know, dive bombing, getting fish, or looking for fish, maybe getting some. Next thing I know, he just flies off, and Holy Spirit says, he didn't worry. He didn't worry about today. He didn't get up and say, I hope there's some fish in the lake. He just went looking. He just went looking. And, you know, that's how you and I should live. He didn't worry about it. He said, but no fish here. I'll fly to another lake. Because a duck, one thing a duck knows is a duck knows how to be a duck. Doesn't he? He's got that little duck waddle. But, you know, if you and I would just live the way Jesus is trying to teach us, if we would just start by not worrying, our battle would be more than half over. But because we worry, what we do is we drive ourselves into a frenzy that does everything to keep us far away from the kingdom of heaven. And so we don't hear his voice. He loves us. He's reaching out to us. You might even get a prayer answered here and there. I don't know. But one thing I know for sure is he wants the presence of God manifested in your life, because troublesome times will come. Trials will come in this life. Jesus told us that. And the only way that you and I can be successful is if we start to live this way. Because here's something I know. All your prayers are not going to get answered just like this. You won't get a miracle every time you pray. I'm going to tell you that right now. You're not. If I told you anything else, I'd be lying. I don't see that in Scripture anywhere. Now, we should believe for the miraculous. We should pray, and we should seek kingdom of heaven, and we should speak some things, and we'll talk more about that as we go through this series. And you and I should speak the word, and we should do spiritual warfare and all those things. But so many times, we're moved by what we do or do not see, and when we don't see a manifestation, we give up, we quit. And I believe, like I've said all morning, so many times we quit right before that next breakthrough, right where it starts to get hard, right where we start to feel like everything is going to break up. How many know, you know, back in the 1940s, man had never gone the speed of sound. I don't have the exact date in front of me. Chuck Yeager was the first guy to break that barrier. Back is like, I want to say 49, something like that, 45, 49. Nobody had ever done it. Matter of fact, trying to go the speed of sound, Mach 1, trying to go the speed of sound would just disintegrate aircraft. And he was the first person to be able to do it. And right before he broke through, they say that the whole thing just started to shake. It started to break up. Like the aircraft was going to fall apart. And then there was what they call a sonic boom. And boom, rather than fighting that where he was at that, he started to get behind it and shot through. Right through that critical mass. See, so many times, I think it's kind of like that as Christians. We're just praying, we're going through, we're fighting everything, and we're saying, Lord, I just want a little bit lost in your presence, and then we don't get the breakthrough, and then we quit. Or we get so caught up in worry that we quit, and our aircraft falls apart. But God wants to take you to a Mach 1 experience. Come on, somebody. He wants to take you past that. Don't quit. Don't give up. If I can get you to listen to one thing this morning, stop praying for things and start to seek Him. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't have a prayer list and things you believe God for. You should. I think you should, by faith, believe God for things. But so many times those things start to get in the way. You know, God doesn't want you to run up to Him. You know, what kind of relationship would I have with Trish? If I just had, okay, is the laundry done? Okay, is the house cleaned? Okay, did you do that? Did you get all the groceries done today? Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do that? Oh, good, now we can have, you didn't get it done? We ain't going out to dinner. We ain't going nowhere, sweetheart. So you get that done and get it done now. Now, what kind of relationship would that be? But how many times do we treat God that way? Think about it. I got did list. I got that. You got to make this. We got to do that. And then it doesn't happen and say, oh, I don't know. Maybe it's just pastor. Time to find another church. Happens all the time. Stop praying for things and start seeking Him. The Bible says this in Psalm 34. It says that if we delight in the Lord, that He will give us the desires of our heart. So many times we have these desires, some of them God-given, some of them not God-given. But because we're not delighting in the Lord, and that means delighting in Him over and over, delighting in Him, you know, King David wrote that psalm, and things weren't going good when King David wrote that psalm. He was being persecuted by Saul relentlessly. But he delighted in the Lord, and the Lord delivered him. Luke 12:27, it says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? See, God wants to clothe you and I more than He even provides for the fields and the grass. But because we get so worried and caught up, and I'll tell you, life is rough. Life is a challenge. You may have gotten a report from the doctor that you've got some kind of disease. I understand that. Look, that's not easy stuff. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you had a lifelong dream that has just kind of gone down the drain. Come on, somebody. It happens. But you know, if you'll get lost in His presence, if you'll start to desire Him above all things, you'll start to be able to pray the way Jesus did. Because Jesus, I'll tell you, Jesus would just get up, He'd go pray all night. Then He'd pray some more. He'd be ministering to the multitudes, and the Bible says He'd just kind of slip out and disappear in the midst of them and go spend time in prayer. I've said it before, but I think more people believe in prayer than actually pray. But good prayer is spending time in the presence of God, being satisfied with His presence. And you may be sitting here today and you think, boy, I don't even know what that means. That doesn't even make sense to me. I encourage you to try it. You'll like it. You'll like it. What does it mean? It means that we shut out everything else. We take that time when nobody's around, whether it's in the morning or late at night, or maybe we have an opportunity during the day where we can go for a walk or we can go for a drive, and maybe we got our Bible with us. Maybe we don't. Maybe we've got a pad of paper. Maybe we don't. I think you should try to have all those things. But don't just start with your list. Start with Him. In fact, if you're going to make a list at all, don't you think it should come from Him first? If you want to get prayers answered, the best way to start is get the right list. Right? I think so many times we're caught up pursuing the wrong things, things that we think sounds good. I've seen so many people go to school and get an education, and education's good. But I've seen so many people get educated, then they get into their field, and they think, what was I thinking? That doesn't mean it's over. God can still move. Don't give up. I don't care what your situation is. God can move. But I'm just saying, I've seen so many of us, we don't start with God's list. We start with our list, and then we want God to bless it. But it's better to start with his list and to seek his presence and to not give up, no matter what's going on. Don't change our circumstance unless it's something that he changes from the inside out and starts to move us through. Because so many times we're so quick to move. We're so quick to move out of our own understanding. We're so quick to move out of our own desires. But that's not how God wants us to live. God wants us to enjoy his presence. The Bible says it's better in Proverbs, it says it's better to be poor and to have a servant than to be rich and lack bread. I don't know why that just popped in my head, but you know how many people are rich but they lack bread? If we just learn how to live in God's presence, our life would be a whole lot richer, because trials will come, disappointments will come. We're living in a time right now that I'm going to tell you, you cannot trust the government. I'm not telling you, beware, you know. I know there's, and not that I don't believe some of that, but that's not what I'm saying this morning. I'm just saying you can't put your trust in the government. Are you with me? It could be the best government ever. Matter of fact, at one time, the government in this country was probably okay. But you still can't trust that. You can't trust that. And that's what's happened. We started to trust that. And we started to trust the American dream. Please don't pursue the American dream. It is definitely the American nightmare. You wonder why the occult is so popular and why all the most popular movies are because of The Walking Dead? Okay. That's kind of like this country. But we're living in a time where our government, I'm going to tell you this week, with the shutdowns and everything, and I'm as disappointed as you are, especially when they start to cut off things to our military and people who have served this country. I just found out the other day, and you probably know if you have a bridge card, you can't pay for food stamps anywhere. That's been cut off now. And even though I don't agree with what's going on, I don't care what side you're on, let me just say that. I'm not going to make this a political message this morning, but we're living in times where we have got to realize, even though I don't agree with the way things are being cut off, listen carefully. At some point, things have got to be cut off. We can't keep this madness up any longer. And if I never do anything as a pastor, but make sure the people that God has given me to pastor, that I can make sure that they realize that the only thing that's going to help you in these last days is to be able to seek God's presence. If I can't do that, I failed. Because we're living in times you can't count on anything. You cannot count on anything. We're living in times where you could go and the bank say we're closed. You say, well, what about the FDIC? Yeah, what about it? They said it could never happen. Well, we're living in a place where if you don't take something they want to give you, you get penalized for it. Tell me that makes sense. Now, I don't want to make a healthcare debate out of this. And maybe you need healthcare. I understand that. But what you really need is his care. Amen. And there's not a health care plan that can do what this word can do for you. There's not a health care plan that can do what his presence can do for you. I mean, I'm thinking of old songs this morning. I had a different song first service. I got another song. Those of you that have been here for a couple services, you'll get. This is what I feel like. How many remember this old song, James Gang song? Riding that train, high on cocaine. Casey Jones, you better watch your speed. I mean, that's kind of like I feel. We're just going. Listen, it's going to crash. It's going to crash. You may be a young person. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know about that. Listen, you are living in the most phenomenal. I got to get off my notes because I'm so far off anyway. You are living in the most phenomenal times. Please listen. Don't be discouraged. Stay in school. Study what God's told you to do. Stay work and do what God's told you to do. Make as much money as you can, but give most of it away if you can. I'm serious. Be about the Father's work. Start to do the things that God wants you to do with your life. Because you know what? God is moving and has moved throughout centuries in His church, regardless of government rule, regardless of what was going on in the social scene. Regardless of what was going on in the Socialistic Republic. Okay. Somebody just hated me when I said that, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. It matters, but it doesn't. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, please vote. Please pray. Please do what we can. But I'm going to tell you something. Casey Jones, you better watch your speed because there's trouble ahead. And Jesus said that if you want to pray effectively, number one, you need to know God is your Father. Number two, you need to know that the kingdom of heaven is something God wants to release. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you today for the word of God. I thank you today that it is bearing fruit in our lives. And today I pray for every person that is hearing this message, Lord, that you would start to encourage us on the inside like never before. That you would start to stir us up to take hold of you, and we would stir ourselves up to take hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of for us. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you. If you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would spend eternity in heaven, this prayer is for you. I'm not asking you if you've ever been in church. I'm asking you if you know that you're saved, that you're born again. That's so important to me. And part of this commitment that you're going to make to Jesus Christ, that he's already committed to you, is that you'll be on your way to heaven. But number two, he wants you to live a life as his disciple, expanding the kingdom at every turn, every place that you go. He wants to live through you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to pray that prayer. I've got some information I have to share with you, and I really want to get it into your hands. So if you're here today, say, Pastor, I want to pray. I want to follow Jesus. I want to make him Lord of my life. On the count of three, let me see your hand. One, two, three. Lift your hand up quick. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to know that I'm born again. I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. I want to become a disciple. I see that hand back there. Anybody else? I'm so proud of you, young man back there. I'm so proud of you. Great decision. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask, it's just that young man there. I've got a pamphlet that they're bringing to you right now. Please take that home. We're going to all pray together here in just a moment, but there's information I want you to take home. But be kind enough to fill out a card, and please turn that in at the information center so we can pray for you by name. I really want to do that this week. So let's all pray. Let's pray this together with this young man who wants to make this commitment to the Lord. Let's all pray it together. Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I make you Lord of my life. I'm not going to serve myself any longer. I'm going to serve you. Thank you for forgiving me. I put my trust in you. I'm not going to serve myself. I'm going to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I am so proud of you. I'm so happy for you. That is the best news ever.